Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where today, Tuesday, February 16th, we have Parler, our social media app, back online. That's right. Yesterday morning, Just the News broke the story that Parler was coming back online. And over the course of the day, all the accounts that were operational back on January 10th, when it was shut down, came back to life. And the Parler community is thriving, 20 million strong. For this week, they'll just be the people who are on the app before it's shut down last month. We'll be able to use it, and it's growing. And you can see Dan Bongino, myself, Sean Hannity, lots of people on Parler. It's robust and growing again. Next week, or within the next couple of weeks, new people will be able to download the app and join the community as it grows, and I expect it will grow quite large. So today, what are we going to do? How are we going to celebrate Parler's return? We're going to bring the interim CEO of Parler, Mark Meckler, on this show to tell us, how did he get it started? What are the lessons learned? What are the threats? What are the monitoring policies for Parler going forward? How did they come up with new servers? Just a lot of big news to cover with Mark Meckler, the interim CEO of Parler, the man who helped get Parler back on its feet. A big moment yesterday, broke it here first on Just the News, but we're so glad that you're going to tune in today. We're going to talk to Mark Meckler. All right. In a few seconds, we're going to go take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, I want to go through two or three very important stories that I think are on Just the News today. Kind of a headlines check, the sort of thing that makes for an interesting day. Let's highlight a couple of the accountability stories that I think you may have missed or haven't seen or should know about get your feet wet in Washington. Also, guys, I just want to remind you, our good friends at Kansas City Steaks are always supporting us here. They're a fantastic advertiser, sponsor, member of the Just the News family. I love Kansas City Steaks. I can't stop eating them. My wife and I are grilling out all the time now, and it is fantastic. And if you have the winter blues, and I'm telling you, I do, if we have any more ice storms here, heck, it's snowing down in Texas. It's like below freezing in Texas. That's just not right. You want to get that winter out of your mind. Here's what you do. You go to KansasCitySteaks.com. You pick your favorite package of steaks, meats, desserts, sides, whatever you want. And then when you get to checkout, you put the word Just News in the code box. Just News, all one word, no spaces. And you'll get an incredible discount and free shipping just because you're a Just the News subscriber. I'll tell you, the sizzle of the grill. I threw some of my burgers that I had gotten from Kansas City Steak on the grill this weekend. The sound of the sizzle on the grill was enough to warm my heart. I know it was 28 degrees out and it was sleeting, but I was feeling good on the inside knowing that I had some of the best food you could possibly get. My friends at Kansas City Steaks are the best. And if you want to support Just the News, you support them and show your appreciation. So if you got the winter blahs, you got the winter blues, go to KansasCitySteaks.com. Pretend it's summer. Get some grilling going. Get some steaks, some chicken, whatever you want on that grill, and you will instantly be transformed into a better mood. I was this weekend for sure. All right, let's take that quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to do a quick headlines check on Just the News and then our exclusive interview with Mark Meckler, the interim CEO, the man who got Parler back online yesterday. All right, be back in a second.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. In a few minutes, yes, we are going to have Mark Meckler here. He's going to tell us how Parler got back online. He's the interim CEO. Dan Bongino, myself, Sean Hannity, Devin Nunez, everybody that was in the Parler community is back online, and we're just having a great conversation again in the social space. Free speech, privacy protecting, that's what makes Parler great, and I hope you're enjoying it, particularly in this era of cancel culture. All right, I want to get to a couple headlines because I think it is important. And the first one is to take a look at a letter that came out late yesterday. Jim Jordan, Rodney Davis, Devin Nunez, and several others are asking the question I've been asking now for almost 2-3 weeks. What did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it concerning the Capitol riot? When we look at the facts that are now in evidence, we know the police chief made multiple requests to get National Guard troops there. We know that the President of the United States, the Pentagon, offered those troops as early as January 4th because there was intelligence suggesting there could be violence. We know the FBI contacted the Joint Terrorism Task Force in Washington early on the 4th, 2 days before the attack. And we know that the word that came back to the Capitol Police Chief, Chief Sund, who's now resigned, was that the powers that be in the Capitol did not want troops guarding the Capitol on January 6th because of the quote-unquote optics of having military uniformed officers inside the Capitol. That turned out to be a fateful decision, and we know that Sund, the police chief, based on the timeline he's provided, went to what is known as the Capitol Police Board, which is made up of the Sergeant-at-Arms for the House, who works for Nancy Pelosi, the Sergeant-at-Arms for the Senate, who works for Mitch McConnell at the time, and the Capitol Architect, who works for both McConnell and Pelosi. What we do not know is what those three officials on the board, those people who gave the notification that they didn't want the troops, they didn't want to fortify security, didn't want to put a wall up or a gate up, where they got those sentiments. Did they devise it all themselves, or did they go to their bosses, Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi? I think we need to know that answer. Everybody needs to know that answer. And yesterday, Jim Jordan and Devin Nunez and Rodney Davis put a letter in writing, said, "Madam Speaker, you impeached President Trump. He got acquitted. You've made a big deal about this Capitol riot because it is a big deal. We need to know, what did you know and when did you know it?" I think that's such an important question. I suspect the lapses in security go higher than what we know, and that there's more to this story, and that there's been a rope-a-dope, a distraction device trying to get our minds off of this with impeachment and other things. But we need to know, what did Nancy Pelosi know? What did Mitch McConnell know? And when did they know it? Because if they were involved in turning down the National Guard, they hold some responsibility for the tragedy that unfolded, particularly because the FBI, the Capitol Police, had the intelligence. They knew something bad was, there was a risk of something bad happening that day. The idea we weren't fortified has to rest, the accountability for that has to rest somewhere, and we can't assign that accountability until we know what Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell knew. And that's why the letter from Jim Jordan and Rodney Davis and James Comer of Kentucky, Devin Nunez, is so important. You can read that letter on our site at justthenews.com. Important letter for sure. Now, some other things have happened over the last few hours, and last day or so. The fallout for those Republicans who voted against Donald Trump in impeachment, either to impeach him or to convict him, which he wasn't, by the way, in the Senate, the fallout is becoming real. We've told you about several of the members of Congress who've already been censored, but over the weekend, more censures occurred. We have Richard Burr of North Carolina being censured by the Republican Party of North Carolina. We have the Utah Republican Party giving Mitt Romney a pass, not censuring him. And then we have some local parties at the county and state level giving censures to people like Pat Toomey and others who voted. And I suspect those discussions are going to escalate and grow until they get to the state party level. But there's been a consequence already, almost immediately, for all those members of Congress who voted for impeachment or for conviction for Donald Trump. He obviously was acquitted on Saturday, twice impeached, twice acquitted, twice deemed innocent under the law, under our standards in America. And those in his own party now face a reckoning. It'll be interesting to see what Donald Trump does. If you haven't had a chance to see the photos, Donald Trump went golfing yesterday. The former president was out golfing. When he came back from golfing, his motorcade was greeted by a large, raucous crowd celebrating him. Yes, thanking him, carrying Trump won signs and promoting his agenda. It was a spontaneous event in Mar-a-Lago or near Mar-a-Lago, his home in Palm Beach. And what it reminds us is that the base of the party, many large numbers of people feel he is still the leader of the Republican Party, wrongly accused. They stand behind him despite all of the things that Democrats have alleged against him. And that moment reminds us just how much sway Trump has in the party. And now the question is, I have a story out today. We talked about it on Monday, yesterday. What will Donald Trump do next? And I think you can look at the story I wrote today and get some of the options. Laura Trump for Senate, that's a possibility. Political Action Committee to fund like-minded Trump candidates around the country. Give Republicans a fighting chance to win back the House and the Senate. That's a possibility. Creating a Patriot Party, a little more distant possibility because of the potential it fractures the conservative movement, makes it two pluralities, and thus the Democrats have a chance to be the majority party. So I'm not sure he goes that route, but it's an option. And of course, creating think tanks and other things to expand the definition of the Trump doctrine, to draw differences between Donald Trump's economy and Joe Biden's economy. All those things are on the cutting board for Donald Trump. You can read that in my story today. Hope you enjoy that. All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break in just a second. One last headline that I enjoyed today from Just the News. It's from my colleague Daniel Payne. And it reminds us that Anthony Fauci, a man who has flip-flopped on many different, in fact, he did it again this weekend. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, has been all over the map throughout this COVID. He changes his mind more often than a quarterback calling audibles in the huddle. I just can't figure it out. And this weekend, he, after months of saying we can, children can go back to school safely, the science proves it, he said, well, they can't go back until we get President Biden's stimulus plan through Congress. That's a major flip-flop. First of all, it's a policy thing. It has nothing to do with science. It's clear that Anthony Fauci is trying to create leverage for Joe Biden to get his deal through a Congress that is kind of skeptical of it, right? And I think that that's he flip-flopped. Remember, he flopped on cruises, single masking, double masking. My God, my head is like whipsawed every time I hear Anthony Fauci speak, because it usually means he's changed his mind again. But one of the interesting things that happened over the weekend, and it raises some ethical concerns, and I really like what Carrie Sheffield, I'm sorry, I said Daniel Payne before, but I meant Carrie Sheffield, wrote, which is the Democrats, the DCCC, which raises money for Democratic candidates in Congress, they have been running ads with Fauci's image. He's supposed to be above politics, right? He's supposed to be a science-only guy, the chief medical officer for diseases in America. They've been running ads suggesting that, well, let me just read you her story. It's pretty darn interesting. They've been running ads, the DCCC, the House Democratic Campaign Arm, thanking Fauci and almost sort of suggesting he might be a candidate for office someday. Interesting, isn't it? A man who's supposed to be scientific only, medicine only, just the facts, ma'am. There's a sudden use of his image, a government image, by the way, to raise money, sign a card, raise money for Democratic candidates. And here are the questions. Did Fauci know it? Did he authorize his image? Does it violate using federal employees for the Hatch Act to encourage fundraising. Some pretty darn interesting questions. Carrie Sheffield has that story under a great headline: Democrats' Use of Fauci Image in Fundraising Pitch Triggers Ethical Questions. Go check that out at justthenews.com. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have our exclusive interview with Mark Meckler, the interim CEO of Parler, the man who helped bring Parler back online, this, our social media space back online yesterday. Important place. I now use Twitter, Facebook, Cloud Hub, and Parler, and reach different audiences. Great conversations. It's such a big, momentous event yesterday. We're going to hear from the man himself right after this commercial break. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a four-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, the man who helped get Parler back online yesterday, the interim CEO of Parler, Mark Meckler, joins us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you. Glad to have power here in Texas so I can be with you.
That's right. You're in the midst of a catastrophic winter storm there, and windmills are freezing. Apparently, clean energy isn't that reliable after all, huh?
Yeah, this is what happens when your state spends $19 billion on green energy when you have all the natural gas you could possibly use.
I've heard from a lot of my friends in Texas. They're all intermittent power. It's got to be really frustrating. I'm so sorry to hear about that. All right, let's get down to business because everybody wants to know, how did you get Parler back online? But before we do that, I've known you for a long time, and you've done some really important things in America, from the Tea Party Patriots to the Convention of the States. I wonder if you could just tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and how you came to be the interim CEO of Parler.
Well, that's as much a surprise to me as anyone, but to backtrack a little bit, I'm an attorney by training.
Right.
My specialty was internet advertising law, so I'm not a stranger to tech enterprises, and I've been doing that for a lot of years, literally since the mid-90s. Ultimately, I stumbled into politics in 2009 with the advent of the Tea Party movement. I helped found the Tea Party Patriots. That grew into the largest Tea Party organization in the nation, 23 million members and 3,200 chapters. And by the way, a very tech-heavy organization. So I got experience helping to build up the systems and supervise the building of the tech systems that are necessary to support a large organization. And from there, I moved over. I founded Citizens for Self-Governance. Ultimately, that became the Convention of States project. Again, another very tech-heavy project. Everything we do, or a lot of what we do, is online. We built our own proprietary database called Citizen Builder. Nation Builder was the biggest and most sophisticated in the world at the time, and it just wasn't enough for us. So I've helped oversee the building of all of that. And then into Parler, basically what happened is I've been thinking about, during all this cancellation, what we have to do as conservatives or libertarians or just anybody who believes in free speech to protect ourselves in an online world. Because we live in a time when if people decide they're going to send the woke mob after you, you can get canceled or unpersoned. And so people like us needed a way to be safe and secure online. And that involves a project I'm working on called The Stack, which is building everything we need from cloud-hosted servers all the way to the ground. That includes email service providers and customer resource management providers, includes banking and merchant accounts, everything you would need to survive online so that you can't be deplatformed. So all of that was going on in the background when Parler went down, I reached out to one of my friends who is one of the majority owners in Parler and just asked if I could help. Started helping them to find pieces and put the pieces in place that they needed to get back online. Ultimately, that resulted over time in me being the interim CEO. And one important correction, though, I don't really deserve any credit for getting Parler back online. There is an incredible staff there.
There is a great team in there. Yeah.
And they've been warriors. They've been working literally 18, 20 hours a day for weeks to get that stuff back online, and they deserve all the credit.
Well, bravo to them. Great, great job, because it came up, and you know, by last night, everybody was back to the old community at putting parlays out and sharing news and having a great conversation. And you could see the relief just as more and more people came online, how happy people were to be back in the experience. Now, this is not a small task, what you had to do. You had to secure a new server farms to get off of AWS, Amazon Web Services. And then you have to rewrite the code base, right? The software base, because it was written to work for Amazon. Now it's going to be on new servers. How did that get pulled off in such a short time? Because when you think about it, I know it felt long for people who were off the platform, but it was just a little over a month.
Yeah, you know, it's incredibly complex. And the way the web works and technology in general, John, is that if it works, we shouldn't even notice that it's working. You know, we just use it for whatever it's used for, and it doesn't interfere with the user experience. There are so many layers of this. You mentioned just servers and the server farms. There's all the mechanisms that are required to protect you from the online attacks that are taking place constantly. There's things like the merchant banking that has to be plugged in, the ability to take credit cards for advertisers. All of this stuff, all these layers of technology had to be redone. And I think this is the most important part for people to understand. They had to be redundant. In other words, you had to have multiple iterations of each provider or each technology. That way you don't have a single point of failure. And frankly, that's what I'm most proud of, the staff and everybody involved. We have some outside contractors and consultants. These guys put this together in a way that I feel like we're really safe and secure for the long haul.
Boy, that is great news to everybody, because what happened and the suddenness of how it happened really showed the power of big tech, that they could silence people in ways that maybe a year ago none of us would have imagined. And getting back online has been, an amazing thing to watch. What's been the reaction in the community? You got 20 million users, right? 21 million users. How has the core audience reacted to the relaunch?
I think mostly it's excitement, and people are excited just to see Parler back up, to be parlaying out there, interacting with people they're happy to see again on Parler. I'm going to be honest with you, there's a little bit of frustration too, and I understand that. I'm a little bit frustrated. It's not quite what it should be. It's not up to our standards. We're having some problems with the iOS stuff. Apple hasn't been entirely cooperative with us, and we're working to get back on the App Store so that we can load a new version of the app up there and fix some of the bugginess. So I would say mostly people are really excited, the occasional frustration, and I understand that and empathize with it.
And when you talk about Apple, you guys are negotiating. Do you think there's a willingness for them to reopen Parler to the store there?
Yeah, I would say right now I'm hopeful. I mean, certainly no guarantees, but they certainly haven't precluded the possibility. I mean, one of the things that we've been able to demonstrate conclusively in the public sphere, you've probably seen this, Forbes did an analysis, and really Parler had nothing to do with what happened on January 6th. That was the excuse for a political hit job. The majority of anything that's negative took place on Facebook was the number one. YouTube was number two. Instagram, really, it was barely a blip on the radar that represented Parler and any user involvement in that. So that was a hit job, and I think Apple understands that. So right now, yeah, we expect and we hope that we'll be back up with Apple shortly.
Wow, that'll be big news for people, because that's the key to getting new users on, right? Because new users have to download an app in order to get on to the platform unless they go through the website. For those who can't get the app or the app's not working, describe what will be available soon as an option for web use, right? You can go to the website and log in as well, correct?
Yeah, I mean, depending on where you are, folks are having problems, and there's some problems with technology propagation right now, also because of all the up and down power outages around the country.
Right.
But Parler.com is the place where people can go use the web interface. That's only for folks, by the way, all of this right now, for folks who are already users on Parler. We're not allowing new account creation probably until next week. We wanted to make sure that the platform is up and stable and ready for the existing Parler family. And we'll open that up to a lot more people in the following week.
And as you look out, given how much excitement and literally meteoric growth Parler was enjoying in the last 3 months before it was taken down, what do you expect the growth arc to look like for Parler over the next 3 months as people look for increasingly look for alternatives to from Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter?
Well, let's put it this way. When we went up, we had the capacity to double our user base, no problem. Plus, we built capacity to add extra servers on demand, meaning that our capacity is infinite. So I would expect over the next 90 days to see us upwards of 40 million users and growth beyond that.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a big number. And at that size community, you really have an impact in the daily discussion about politics and the agenda. I mean, even at 20 million, you do now. But that's a exciting number to see on the horizon. One of the things that came up was policing content that violated your rules or you know, what's known as illegal speech. You guys pride yourselves of keeping this as much as possible open to free speech and also to protect the privacy of people. Where is that line now, and how might it be different from where Parler was the day it was shut down, January 10th of last month?
Yeah, we really haven't changed the line. I mean, if it is legal to do in the public square, then it's legal on Parler. That's our intent. That's our standard. We're going to stick with that standard. We've instituted some AI that does initial scanning. We're obviously going to stop anything that's actual incitement. But I do mean incitement, not according to standards imposed by politicians and the woke mob, but incitement according to
the legal standard.
That's right. That's it. Legal definition of incitement. Legal definition of any kind of serious promotion of violence. No criminal activity will be allowed. Other than that, Parler is intended to be a free speech platform.
Yeah, that's why it's a user base so embraces it, and I think we're so relieved to have it back in the form yesterday. When you look out over the horizon, because you obviously have always been on the edge of where the pulse of America is, where whether it's the Tea Party Convention of the States, when you look at this ecosystem that's now being built, it's sort of an equal and opposite ecosystem from what Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and YouTube got us all hooked on, and then they kind of turned it into a partisan litmus test. What is the next big threat to free speech in the space? For those who are conservatives who are fearful, they saw deplatforming. It sounds like you solved that problem. We have alternate platforms. That's important. Is demonetization, advertising, where are the next places that the left may go to try to silence conservative voices?
Yeah, well, look, I'm worried about our banking system. Significantly, more and more banks are refusing, for example, to serve gun sellers or gun manufacturers, ammunition providers. So I'm worried about the safety and security of the banking system. That includes credit card companies and those who process credit cards. They're called the merchant banking system.
Yep.
So all of those are a concern to me. That's, you know, we talked briefly that I'm working on something called the Stack, and the Stack is intended to include all of those things. So what the Stack will be is it will be everything from the cloud to the ground that we need to exist in a digital world in a way that we can't be canceled. And I want to be clear, it's not like we're inventing this. There are some pieces we may have to build. But there are a lot of people out there that are willing to play in the space that already run these kinds of businesses. I've been in talks with some banks that I think are good, solid conservative banks that can't be cowed by the woke mob. We already have some merchant account providers that are like that will be plugging in. There's, for example, a big need for email service providers.
Oh, for sure.
There's a problem out there. Right now, MailChimp is censoring email. That's the biggest. Constant Contact is censoring email.
Well, Mark, I know you got to go with all the communications troubles in Texas. We want to thank you for your time today explaining what's been going on with Parler, and we look forward to its growth and hope to keep us up to date as we go on. We're going to go to a quick commercial break now, folks. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. All right, folks. Big thanks to Mark Meckler, who's so busy, I'm sure, on the first 24 hours of getting Parler revived, but for spending some time with us, explaining the issues, explaining what happened, explaining what the future of Parler is, how it's insulated from future cancel culture, deplatforming, and what the future holds for that very robust platform. At 20 million Americans already, probably going to grow a lot in the next few months. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more news, more exclusive interviews at John Solomon Reports. Until then, may God bless you and may God bless this great country of America as he always has. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.